Welcome back, everybody, to another fun-filled episode of the We Are Adults Show, brought to you by Hoppyhead Productions. I'm your host, Sean Danny. I feel like I'm getting to that age where I'd rather go to bed than stay up late and play video games.
Yeah, I actually, stayed up later last night than I have for a long time. Like, I went upstairs to go to bed. It was, 11:30.
I went to bed at 2:30.
Oh. Well, I was going to say, there's some times where my alarm is set for 11:30 for me to go to work.
That's fair. That is fair. Yeah, you have some fucked up schedule, man.
Oh, man. But next week's going to be amazing, even though it's supposed to be hot. I don't have to be outside in it.
Get to hang out and hide inside.
Yes, be a
trooper. No, man, dude. I was scheduled. I had the sweet taste of freedom. And then it was stolen. Stolen.
That's why you get paid the big bucks, right?
So, yeah, I gotta wait 2 more weeks. At least I only worked 4 days this week, though, so I got that going for me.
Nice.
Yeah.
Dude. So there are some people I work with that have a Tuesday through Saturday schedule.
Yeah.
And if you work 6 days in a row, you get time and a half no matter how many hours you work. Mm-hmm. So if you're part-time and you work 4 hours a day and then you work 6 day, you get 24 hours, that 4 hours is basically overtime.
That's terrible, working 6 days a week but only for 4 hours.
Yes. So... But it's even worse because the holiday on Monday. So if you work Tuesday through Saturday,
mm-hmm.
Saturday would be 6 day pay. Even though you didn't work Monday, you got paid for it.
Yeah.
And so to counteract that, all the people that are Tuesdays through Saturday get Tuesday off without pay.
Nice.
So they'll still basically get paid for 5 days, but they get a 4 day weekend. But they also get ripped off of their opportunity to get 6 day pay on Saturday. Their normal scheduled Saturday.
That's how they get you.
It is, man.
Oh, man. So, but last night, Danny, I was doing some raiding, per usual, right?
Yes.
Did the Leviathan Prestige. Got it beat last night. It only took, just a few hours, 4 hours, and I was done.
Yeah.
Just four.
Four, that's it? That's nothing, man.
Yeah, there was some anger, there started to be some fighting in the third hour, trying to get us, or during the fourth hour, I should say, there was definitely some heated conflict between group members about whose fault it was for fucking up.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
I remember,
good times.
Groups of the raiders on Final Fantasy 14 for the extreme raids, they would be working on it for a few hours, a couple hours a day, twice a week for a while, mm-hmm. until they finally got it. And then there'd be the point where they'd almost get it, they'd get down the boss down to 1%, and either their DPS wasn't fast enough and the boss would basically go into its timed critical board wipe, kill everybody, or somebody would stand in the wrong spot and wipe the group.
Yeah.
So. Yes, I understand that pain.
Yeah, dude, it was just So there's two in the boss phase. There's three of you are in the what you call the shadow realm, and you got to get through these hurdles and stuff. And then so in the prestige mode, you have to, every time you punch one of the Scion creatures to create the barrier so you don't fall off the map, one of you go into the shadow realm and it randomly picks somebody in the shadow realm and pulls them into the throne room. So I ended up getting, I was the last pull, so I'm in the throne room and one of the people dies, and I'm just sitting in the back just shooting people. The second person dies, I'm just in there by myself well, we're fucked. we're gonna fucking wipe this. And so basically, because there was two guys, or a guy and a gal, died in the throw room, in the shadow room, the boss, was throwing extra skulls at the three, at our three teammates, so they were able to kill more of the skulls and beef up and got, our, got our DPS level like extremely high, but it was just literally they're like, pull us in, and I'm just like, there's five guys just shooting me, and I'm just trying to kill the boss shield, take his shield down. I literally like watch my life like basically flicker away where there's nothing in there. The shield, his shield drops, and I just put my protective bubble on, and I'm just like, I lived. Oh my god. and we get, and then so the three come back into the throne room, and they pull their they revive our teammates, and we just start going to the different pedestals and start doing damage. And it was just like on the first, you know, on the first pedestal out of the four, he's like, he gets half his health killed, and you just know, like, all right, this is it. Like, if we don't do it here, there's just going to be rage quitting going on, right? Because you're just that close to it. Like, if anything just set it off at that point, it was like, what's the point anymore? And just fucking rage. So we kill his life. He goes into, like, where he goes into his extra timer phase where he's going to fuck everybody up if you don't break his shield. And it's just like shooting. You go, it's like, Guardian down, and you're just shooting. You're just like, please, just let the pain stop. and his shield breaks, and we complete the raid. And it was just like, I need a beer and a cigarette.
Oh man, yes, like, you got to the point where it's like, no matter, this is our last run, whether we kill the boss or we die, no one is going to continue without people.
It just felt like it, because it was like everything started going right like that round. Because you got to think, we were in the boss room for about a good hour 40, just on that one part. So it was just like, at that point, it was just like, we just ended up getting a good groove. We had the right, when we were dropped, it was like the right turns, and everything just seemed to be going right that time. And so when we finally got to that damage phase, it was kind of, I think, at least for me, it felt like I just didn't know if I could continue. Like, after, like, we finally got, like, the moons aligned, you know, everything aligned to what we needed to do. It was, but we got it done. And then and so that was at midnight, and I decided to just level grind for two hours for some reason.
You're probably the emotions of, like, you went through, you just had to, like, wind down.
Right.
Like, I can't go to sleep right now. I gotta do something boring. I'm gonna play more Destiny. That'll help me fall asleep.
Really? You bastard. Got jokes?
I mean, it's funny because it's true.
Nah, not true, bud. Not true.
I mean, it did help you fall asleep, didn't it?
True. I think it was because it was 2:30 in the morning, man.
I mean, there's that, too. I mean, it could just be a weird coincidence.
Yeah. Are you... I know I didn't even think about talking to you about any of this, but have you seen anything about Outriders? Are you keeping up with all the new trailers?
No.
Since you're a Square Enix kind of boy?
No. I haven't. I'm too busy watching all the videos of the Avengers game. Well, not watching the videos, but seeing that there's all these videos from the Avengers game popping up on the YouTube, and... Mm. I guess somebody was mad that Kamala Harris wasn't sexy enough. And it's like, dude, as Captain Marvel, and it's like, dude, or Miss Marvel, and it's like, dude, she's like a 13-year-old.
Jesus Christ. That's why we can't have nice things, man.
No, it's not. Like, but why is she, like, she's not curvy enough, she's more boxy and this and that, and someone's like, dude, she's a child. Like... Relax.
You need to calm the fuck down.
Exactly. I can't masturbate to this character in a video game, so the video game sucks. I saw, you know, there's the gatekeeping subreddit.
There's a game review for you right there.
Exactly. That's the perfect game review. If you can't masturbate to the main female character, the game sucks. But on Gatekeeping, somebody posted a screenshot of a tweet. It says, masturbating is a feminine trait. If you masturbate enough, you will become a woman. So either they're wrong or I haven't masturbated enough because I'm not a woman.
We're all women now.
Well, or you just haven't masturbated enough yet.
I guess not. Dude, I'm like drowning in pussy.
Yeah, I saw another tweet. It was like, some guys think 9 inches is big. It's not. And, so, and someone replied to her. It's like, wow, check out Miss Deep Dish Pizza Pussy here.
Jeez.
It's the best for stuff like that. It's also the worst for stuff like that, too, but, you know.
It's bittersweet, I'll tell you.
Yeah, man.
Bittersweet.
Speaking of bitter and sweet, Sean, what are you drinking today?
I'm drinking a beer from Duclaw Brewing Company. It's the Sour Me series, and it's called Unicorn Farts.
Oh, I saw that on the Instagram page, Untapped What the Fuck. Making fun of like beer.
Yep. So this is a glittered sour ale. Ale brewed with fruity cereal and edible glitter. Let's see. On the side it says ale brewed with fruity cereal, edible glitter, artificial flavor, and FDC yellow number 5. I don't know what that is, but it can't be that good for you, right?
It's a food coloring.
Mm-hmm.
To make it look like piss, I'm guessing.
Probably. It just tastes sour to me, though. It's like that's all I get.
It doesn't taste enough like ammonia or asparagus for you.
No. And it feels overcarbonated. I remember when we poured a cup, and we had to take a while to fill it up because it was like very foamy. So I'm starting to get that. Like, every drink I have, I just feel, like, super gassy. I'm just, like, ready to burp every time I take a drink.
So they should name the beer Unicorn Farts?
Yeah. Maybe that's part of the wonderfulness.
Exactly. You fart in glitter for a while, like you're a stripper. Ah. That's pretty funny. Is this your first time having a beer with edible glitter, Sean?
Yep.
It was like, I don't know, it was weird. It was like the beer, like the old school beer people that don't like fun or new things were like, when they kind of first started putting glitter in beer, were like, this is going to be the downfall of beer. And it's like, nah, dude, people do it for like special one-off beers. It's not like it's ever became commonplace.
Yeah.
Like, the only time I ever had it in beer was at Bottle Logic when they did one of their Harry Potter events. Mm-hmm. And they released like a line of like 10 beers that are themed Harry Potter wise. And so they have one that's it's a butterbeer beer.
Mm-hmm.
And it put glitter in it to give it the magical sheen that butterbeer has.
Sheen!
Exactly.
I remember that festival. I didn't have any beer, but I remember you telling Brownie about it.
Yeah, they've done it a couple times.
And she didn't even go.
She never does anything. I don't know why I talk to her.
I don't even know why I raid with her, like today. Fucking annoying. 2 hours on a raid, we didn't even get halfway through it. Fucking terrible.
And then I don't know why I like offer helpful suggestions to Mike. Like posting an article in the group chat about Bush's beer making a beer for dogs. He likes to go to dog birthday parties, and dude, so I thought that would be a hit. Yeah. Dog birthday party.
Yeah, he's gonna get those dogs drunk.
Exactly, but it actually it's like there's a waiting list for it, Sean, for this dog beer. It's basically like it's made with bone broth. I don't know if it's even carbonated or if it's just like a gimmick thing of calling it beer because they put it in cans.
Probably.
It's just basically soup for dogs.
Right. The Open it up. It just smells like chicken and beef broth.
And like I heard about it on a beer podcast, and they're like, "Well, if we get, because one of the guys put his name on the waiting list, and I guess he's like number 4,000 on the list."
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, "Well, if we get it, you know, we're trying it, right?" And even like the press release, they're like, "This is for dogs," and they're like, "We know you're probably going to try it too, and we don't judge, but this is mainly for dogs."
I wonder what else they're doing to it.
Probably nothing. I mean, they're probably just like, you know, making like bone broth and throwing some vegetables in, like soup broth and throwing some vegetables in it, straining it and pouring it into a can, and then overpricing it and selling it to people. either as a gimmick purchase, or someone who like spoils their dogs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not buying it. I spoil my dogs, but I ain't gonna go that far.
No, and it wasn't that bad. It was like $10 for a 6-pack. No, not that
no,
much love.
No, definitely not.
If I told your lady friend, she would probably create fake email addresses to put her name on the waiting list even more times.
I doubt that.
Yeah, that does seem like too much work. She'd probably just do it once, and then make you pay for it.
Yeah. Probably.
So, Sean, I redeemed myself on this episode.
Oh, are you drinking something that good?
Not so much that good. It's the beer that I tried to drink a couple episodes ago, but couldn't find the bottle opener that I needed to open the bottle.
Jesus.
Because of like the eighth of an inch layer of wax on the top of the bottle.
Wow.
It's like, I understand like wax makes things fancy, but they also make things impossible to open.
I'm so fancy, you don't even know.
So it's called Where Our Hearts Truly Lie. It's a port barrel aged quadruple.
You said pork barrel?
Yes. Port. Not pork.
Port. Okay. Like
port, like the wine?
Yeah.
Or like where the
pork. No, we're back on the same page.
Okay, cool. And it's like, the bottle is cool. Like, it's like a maroon bottle to max the wax, but like, basically, there's no like real color on there. It's just everything's like just raised and mm-hmm. more glossy. So I'm like having to hold it at like angles and shit to read it. And that's because I can't read Braille. Maybe if I could like if I was blind, I could like read it by rubbing my fingers along the raised words.
Mm-hmm.
But it's by Urban Roots Brewing in Sacramento. It comes in at 11%. Inspired by our rich, rewarding family relationships, Where Our Hearts Truly Lie, a Belgian-style quadruple ale is full of rich, delicious malt and fruit notes. It is further aged in port barrels for over a year to add depth and complexity. The result, burnt sugar, figs, plum, and sherry flavors emerge to a more luxurious, indulgent ale.
Mm.
And like when I poured it, there was like, it foamed up pretty nice, you know, in the cup, but then it kind of died down pretty quick, which I guess make it more almost wine-like as opposed to beer. Definitely, you can definitely smell the port wine. It's good. It doesn't have that weird, you know, that Belgian thing that we both like made us avoid Belgians beers for a while. Not Belgians the people, but Belgians the beer.
Mm-hmm.
This is definitely something that like if you have some friends over that are like wine snobs,
fuck them.
Right, and you're like, oh, check out this, and they're like, I'm going to get a beer, and they're like, beer? Beer is for peasants. And you pour them one of these, and they're like, okay, maybe not. Beer is pretty good. But yeah, my old-ass eyes are like bleeding now from trying to read the label.
Oh, that's funny.
So, Sean, we got some sad news for you, Sean.
No, not again.
Your beloved restaurant, Taco Bell, is making even more changes in addition to getting rid of Dr. Pepper.
And potatoes.
And well, they got rid of the potatoes, yes.
Yep.
And the seven-layer burrito. Like, they got rid of, like, 12 menu items already.
Mm-hmm.
Effective August 13th. And now they're getting rid of five more items to be effective November 5th. And one of the ones that everyone is like the most sad about is they're getting rid of it. Their Mexican pizza.
Yep.
Were you a fan of the Mexican pizza, Sean?
I was a fan. That was one of my usually go-to items.
So you know why they say they're getting rid of the Mexican pizza, Sean?
Why?
It's because they say that it creates too much packaging. Like when they give it to you, the container they give it to you, and it just creates too much waste.
Because it's like a paper container?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Even though, like, when they got rid of their nachos, one of the things they replaced it with was, like, a nacho box. Which is like, wait, how is this box not creating any more waste?
I don't know.
Fucking hypocrites, man. But then they're getting rid of, like, shredded chicken. Anything that has shredded chicken on it.
That's interesting.
So
they're not going to serve chicken or just not serve shredded chicken?
Just not serve shredded chicken.
Gotcha.
And then they're going to get rid of their pico de gallo.
Wow.
And then replace it with, like, lazy person's pico de gallo of just chopped tomatoes.
Terrible news, man. Terrible news. Where else will we be able to get decent, shitty food at?
And then the other thing they're getting rid of, even though it's like it's not on the menu boards, but if you order on their mobile app, you can still get it, is the quesarito. Mm. And so their excuse is that they want to like streamline the menu so that they could like basically bring back, like have like limited release of favorites, fan favorites, like the Mexican pizza. Dude, you know, I hadn't been to Taco Bell for years, right?
Really? Years?
Like, I once when you were in Toledo, I went there once when I was in, and you were in Toledo, and I didn't even look at the menu. I was just like, what do you get? And you're like this, and I'm like, all right, whatever. I don't. And then I went when they opened a brand new one out here over by one of the Walmarts mm-hmm. by me. I went in there, and, like, they have, like, a digital menu board, and it just kept changing because it was just so many things on the menu. Like, they couldn't have a static board.
Yeah.
So I'm, like, trying to read the menu, and then it switches, and I'm like, wait, I hadn't finished reading that first page yet.
That's why you use the Taco Bell app, man.
I didn't think it would be that...
You don't even have to talk to people. Any customers.
I didn't think it would be that complicated going to Taco Bell. I thought the whole point of having Taco Bell's in existence was like...
God, you're so fucking old. You're so annoying.
Well, I know, but how are you supposed to use the app when you're drunk, man? Like, I thought the whole point of Taco Bell was for streamlined convenience when you want to get drunk food.
I don't know. That's Jack in the Box. That's my biggest regret about... I don't have Jack in the Box for midnight, late night snacks.
You can't get those shitty deep fried tacos?
Oh, no, you can't. Not out here. It's so disappointing.
They just pull them out of the freezer and then throw them straight into the deep fryer. With like just teaspoon and a half full of topping that may or may not be meat.
I'm not even surprised. Are you? It's probably frozen in there too.
It is. Well, yeah, no, they're pre-made. I think we're going to like Little Tokyo and we stopped at a Jack in the Box to get breakfast and, or you know, first meal, I guess technically breakfast, even though we didn't necessarily order breakfast foods because it was later than breakfast.
Yeah.
I saw the dude pull the. I looked behind the curtain and I saw the dude pull the tacos out of the freezer and just drop them in the deep fryer.
Yeah, that's the good shit right there.
The cat food tacos.
Mm-mm, so good.
You mixed that with a little bit of that Bush's bone broth beer. Oh, man. So
you got a breakfast of champions right there.
Exactly. Got your protein for the day.
I'll tell you what.
Oh, man. So those some DC got some more sad news, Sean.
Oh, man. What now?
They had started to resume filming the Batman movie in, like, Europe somewhere.
Yeah.
And they had to end up shutting down production again. Because people, including Robert Pattinson, caught the Rona.
Wow.
And somebody posted a tweet on the Age Like Milk subreddit from one of the actors in it, and it's like, yeah, this Batman movie's not going to be like the rest of them. it's going to be like dirty and just unsanitized. And they're like, maybe we should use more sanitization on the set.
Maybe you should have kept more social distancing.
Wash your hands.
Add that to the contract to all your employees that they can't go fuck off.
Right. Like, I can't remember what show it is, but there's an actress and they're filming in Canada and she's kind of saying that like basically the set is like a prison because they're not allowed to leave. Well, they're going to be up there until December filming and they're not allowed to leave. And it's people are like, oh, boohoo. And it's like, dude, she has a legit complaint. Like if you were stuck at your job for, you know, if you were like, there's people out of jobs that would want to do that. And it's like, yeah, but the people that have jobs wouldn't want to get stuck at their job for, you know, 4 months and not be able to leave the grounds of your job.
Jeez.
You know,
these motherfuckers.
That's one of the things I hate about the internet is like nobody can like complain about anything. You either have to love it or you have to hate it. You can't like the Destiny subreddit is a prime example.
Yep.
Right? Where it's like they make some changes on PvP or they nerf some guns and someone's like, "Wait, why did they make these changes, man? The game's not as much fun as it used to be." And of course, people can reply back, "Well, if you don't think it's fun anymore, then just stop playing." And it's like, "Motherfucker, I've been playing since this game launched. I've been playing since like Destiny 1 launched. Like I want this game to be fun again. Why can't I say that I want this game to be fun?"
I feel like part of the I feel like this is just like with like League of Legends and any other game that's like a long MMO long-term playing. They're always going to fuck with the settings to change what's good and what's not, cuz it keeps it as much as it's annoying to have your favorite gun like nerfed, it honestly helps balance the game. Like, right now, like, I was just talking to one of my teammates, and he's like, "I can't get these hand cannon kills anymore." He's like, "It's very, I never used hand cannons, and it's very tough to do that in the Crucible." I'm like, "Well, it's even more harder now because hand cannons aren't the meta in the Crucible. You need to be using, like, an auto rifle, so..." Like, things change. Like, even I had to, like, get off hand cannons because I just couldn't score the kills like I used to with the changes that they did. So, I feel like some of that stuff's always going to change. It's the same thing with, like, the champion thing. They were looking for a new mechanic to help make, you know, nightfalls and certain aspects harder. And that's why we have nightmares and why they're pain in the dick.
Right. But, you know, and I understand there's a huge difference between people, like, being assholes when they complain and people just legit, like venting or griping. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's a Destiny subreddit. You're supposed to be able to freely talk about Destiny. But for them to be like, "You know what, man? Like, I love hand cannons. I'm sad that hand cannons aren't the meta anymore." And people are like, "Well, fuck you. Stop playing the game." That's more what I'm talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, man. But more sad COVID news, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his entire family, his wife and two kids, caught the Rona.
Oh, jeez.
And one of the funny things about that was that people were, like, tweeting about it. It's like the Rock knew he had caught the Rona because he kept asking, "Can you smell what The Rock is cooking?" And his family answered no.
Did he say that? Or is that just your dumb joke?
No, that wasn't my dumb joke. A couple people on Twitter posted that on the, and it was on Reddit as well.
Yeah.
I didn't say it was funny. I just said I saw it on the interwebs.
Oh, fair enough.
But yeah, so because he's, you know, I don't even think he's been doing anything. He hasn't been working, I don't think. So I don't know where they caught the Rona.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Oh man, but then, Sean, this is what I forgot to talk about last week that we teased at the end of last week's episode.
Oh, no.
So AT&T brought back their spokesperson after she had gone off to make a TV show that ended up getting canceled, right? Lily from AT&T?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was wondering, because she came back, she was gone, and then she came back to do, like, a social distancing commercial talking about how, like, you know, social distancing isn't so bad. You can just put googly eyes on your possessions and pretend like they're your friends. And she was, like, talking to one thing, and it's like, "Oh, you're my best friend." And then she looked over, and, like, her coffee cup was sitting there and looking at her, and she's like, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there."
Mm.
And so, you know, talking about them doing the 5G and, you know, all that stuff. And then on the social media, though, like, dude, dudes are thirstier than like being someone stuck in the Sahara Desert for like a week. Like, it got to the point where like AT&T was like defending her, like, whoa, whoa, like, dude, like, chill, like, she's right there, like, don't say this shit about another human being. And then they finally were like, you know what, we're tired of this shit, like, we don't have enough time or energy to like fend off all the neckbeards and incels and shit, so we're just gonna like shut down all comments on every single one of our social media posts because you guys can't behave.
The world can't behave.
And she came out and was talking about it, like, dude, like this, you guys are fucking like disgusting. Like, I feel gross. Like when I go online now, like, stop. Like, one of the comments, like, someone was like, hey, it's like, I didn't know AT&T stood for ass, thighs, and tits.
Oh man.
I mean, I will say, as a male member of the human species, and even my wife as a female member of the human species, we both agree that she is cute. You know, but that's the extent of like my involvement in her looks.
Yeah.
Like, the commercial comes on and it's like, oh, Lily's back. Wow, she's cute still. I forgot, you know, and it's like, now we move on, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel the need to go on like Instagram or Twitter or something like that and find her handle or AT&T's handle to let them know that she looking juicy. She thick with all the C's, as the kids say. Yes. You know, like someone tweet, you know, it's like one of the comments could be something, you know, combine it with the tweet that we read earlier where it's like, man, these commercials are so amazing that I'm turning myself into a woman as we speak.
Yeah.
Because I'm masturbating. That's the joke, Sean.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a terrible. Don't do that. People are watching. Joke. People are around. We're recording right now. Why would you say that?
Because it's the joke of our tweet earlier about, you know, if masturbating is only for women and if you masturbate too much, you'll become a woman. It was a callback to that, Sean. Circle back. It's one of the important keys of comedy is to, you know, bring back a joke.
Fair enough.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a good joke. It's just you can bring it back.
Are there good jokes?
Okay, not from me. Not from me.
Yeah.
And probably not from you either.
Nah, probably not. I mean, it makes sense. I mean, we have a lot more episodes than fans, so
we have more than a dozen episodes. We don't even have one listener for every 10. We don't even have for every 10 episodes.
We need to get a comedy writer in here.
We don't have that kind of money, dude.
And we need to get better beer in here.
That was your choice for picking that. Shitty ass unicorn beer. But I understand you took one for the team on that one. Like, it's an interesting beer that you wanted to talk about on the show, right?
Yep. Don't ever say I didn't try.
Yeah, took one for the team. Oh. So, I watched a couple movies, Sean. I watched the newest Scooby-Doo movie that apparently, like, the kids can't see Scooby-Doo anymore, so it's just Scoob now.
Scoob. Far out, dude.
And so, it seems like they're trying to bring back like all of the Hanna-Barbera characters, like Captain Caveman and Blue Falcon,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. And it seems like they're doing something akin to like the MCU or the DCEU, except they're doing it better than the DCEU.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
Like I thought this movie would be amusing. There was quite a few laugh out loud moments in this movie.
Mm.
And they didn't quite go full Deadpool by breaking the fourth wall, but they definitely made references to how ridiculous the shit that was going on in the movie was, like how it didn't make any sense, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty
funny. And so they had to defeat the big bad and they rounded up, you know, Blue Falcon, like help them out, and they end up encountering Captain Caveman and stuff. And so the end credits made it seem like the Blue Falcon put together his own like team that like had Captain Caveman and Magilla Gorilla and all the old like Hanna-Barbera characters. So I'm hoping the movie, I don't know if the movie made enough money or if they can even like measure those metrics anymore right now, yeah. with the coronavirus going on, to make more movies in this world. But yeah, like I like this movie is definitely better than any of the DCEU movies leading into, like, maybe except for maybe like Wonder Woman and like Shazam.
Wonder Woman.
Oh man. And then I watched Dunkirk. It's a Christopher Nolan World War II movie based on a true story. Right?
Yep.
Like, basically, the Allies were stuck on this beach, surrounded by the Germans, and they needed to get off. There was, like, a few hundred thousand troops on there, and there was no way for them to get off, because they had Germans on land closing in on them, and they had Germans in the sea. And, of course, they had all the Christopher Nolan standard cast of characters, right? Like, Michael Caine did the voice of one of the pilots as a reference to, like, an old World War II movie that he had done mm-hmm. years ago when he was, like, young enough to actually be a soldier in World War II.
Yeah.
And then it has Tom Hardy.
Of course. Thomas.
And Kenneth Branagh is in it. Cillian Murphy also is in it. And his, like, his credit is just Shivering Soldier.
Ooh, I'm so cold, like, he's, like, Daniel.
He gets pulled out of the water. Like, his boat gets shot by a torpedo, and he gets pulled out of the water, and he's, like, suffering from PTSD and stuff. And it's, like, the whole movie, like, you don't see Tom Hardy's face because he's, like, in the plane, flying the plane, and he's wearing, like, the flight suit with the helmet and the mask. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, because of this movie, somebody made a chart on Reddit under the Data is Beautiful about what percentage of Tom Hardy movies he's in where he wears a mask. And he's in mask in more of his movies than he's not in mask.
That's hilarious. What other movies besides Batman Rises?
And this one, I don't remember exactly. I think he wore a mask for a little bit in Mad Max.
Oh, yeah, that would make sense.
And I can't remember.
I think in the intro he has it on or something, and then they take it off.
Yeah. But you can definitely tell it's Tom Hardy because he slips into the Bane voice every once in a while.
We must kill the Germans.
Yes, it's like, I'll get the bomber, you get the fighters.
He went into, and they're like, fuck, dude, you know how much money it costs to record this scene? We can't even redo it. Fucking Tom. God damn it. This is your fault, Nolan, for bringing Bane on set.
Right. Bane, he's like, I don't know, man, dude. I just love the Bane voice. That's why I hire him for everything. I just, you know, I record every little line of dialogue of him doing Bane, and we just play that when I'm making love to my wife. Yes. You were born into the dark.
Born into the dark. Thrust. But like, thrust.
Oh man, yes, that would be good. Have Bane narrate your sex tape. But you know, reading reviews on Netflix, just because like it had a lower like rating than I thought it would, and of course it was like all either like 5 stars, like this Christopher Nolan's a genius, another great Christopher Nolan movie, to this is just more pretentious Christopher Nolan bullshit.
So basically, if you don't like Christopher Nolan movies, don't watch the movie then.
Basically, like there's very little dialogue, and like that was a thing that people complained about. And the other is like they're like, well, there's no character development, and it's like it's not even a war movie, it's a battle movie. Like literally one battle. How much do you expect the people in the one battle to change? Like they're not gonna have. It's not like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life where they're going to fucking, like, have Guardian Angel come and save them and they're going to change their ways, you know?
Hey, can we stop this fight? I got to get my montage on. Run. Woo. Get my mask. Girl, we're ready to go.
6 months later, yeah. No. And it's based on a true story. So, and they're like, so people are like, I just couldn't relate to any of the characters because, like, there was no character development. I didn't feel any sympathy for them. And it's like, what do you mean you couldn't feel sympathy for, like, the soldiers in a battle? Like, who are being, like, basically sitting ducks on a beach while German dive bombers come and, like, take them out in large groups, you know?
Yeah. Well, if they weren't losers, they wouldn't be in that predicament.
True. True. You know, said by the president that's done more for the soldiers than any president in history, just like the president that's done more for black people than any president in history, except for maybe Abraham Lincoln might have done more for them, him, for black people than him, but not positive on that.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But, you know, of course, the soundtrack is very Nolan-esque. Mm. So, yeah, if you like Christopher Nolan movies, you'll love this movie. If you don't, then you're going to fucking hate this movie.
Good to know.
And that was the other thing, too. Like, I didn't see, you know, if I would have saw it in theaters when it came out, one of the things that people complained about, it was just really loud. And to the point where I think they sent out a, like, update to the theaters. Like, it was like, you know, a video game to, like, adjust the sound volumes.
Hey, bro, can you turn it down to, like, 8? Thanks.
You mean 18 from 20?
Maybe.
Oh, man. So, Sean, did you finish Weebin' It Up?
I did. I did finish it up. So, I ended up watching... Have you watched the original series, Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon?
No, but I read the first couple issues of the manga.
Yeah. So they have 2 seasons out that I've seen, and I believe I reviewed the season 2 a while ago, probably a long, long time ago. Yeah, so, you know, the main character basically bumps into a girl while he's leveling up in a dungeon. You know, she's like freaking wickedly awesome with a sword and killing shit, and so he ends up kind of getting a little crush on her and trying to level up, and that's kind of how the original story goes. There's all sorts of different gods in it, so the god Loki is in it, and a couple different other ones, and it's really kind of like, you know, they go into the dungeon, they get crystals, and that's kind of like a very treasured currency in the world. And they try to do things to represent their gods, and then the gods could level them up through their stats and whatnot. So this is called Sword or Tora. Is It Wrong to Pick Up Girls in a Dungeon on the Side? So this is a side. This is basically season 1, based off the perspective of the Loki family and the Sword Princess. So a lot of the major events that happen in season 1 happen in this season as well, because it's just basically it's not really a side story. It's more of a just a different view on the season. So when they talk about, you know, the Sword Princess getting to level 6, this kind of explains how she did it and whatnot. Bell is in it, but he's not in it very much, just at a couple scenes. Overall, it felt like the season was good, is carried by the original story, because it's really just more information on other things that are going on, and it just gives you more insight on the overall kind of story that's developing, that you could see where the main story is going. I don't think this is a very strong standalone. Like, you really couldn't watch this anime and be, I feel like, and be impressed with it, because you wouldn't even, like Bell shows up, you don't really understand anything about him, why, you know, why it's important or anything. So it's a very, like, niche kind of anime where you really need to watch season 1 before you watch this to really kind of get an appreciation, because it's not a very strong standalone. Like, I don't think I liked a lot of the information, and there are some good fight scenes and stuff, but it's not very strong by itself. One of the girls that is in one of the elf mages has, like, an overly, like, ridiculous crush on the Sword Princess, and her character's kind of starting to annoy me quite a bit. But there are, the other characters are pretty fun to watch, and there's some good laughs in there, and the story does progress a long path, the season 1, and it is pretty good from that perspective. So I would just say, you know, don't watch this anime if you're not going to watch season 1, because there's really no point to it.
Right. And that makes sense. Like, it's just, like, it's almost like if you need your fix of this show, and you can't wait for them to actually come out with a new season, you're like, well, I wonder what this side character was doing.
Yeah.
You were flirting.
Exactly.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, that's one of those that I need to watch. I'm just far behind on animes. I'm still, like, I still haven't finished, like, Old Maidens in Your Savage season. Yeah. I still haven't finished that.
You're way behind.
Yeah. Like, today I finally watched the second episode of The Monster Girl Doctor.
So, yeah, I gotta watch the next episode or two, and I think, Yuri-chan came out too, right?
Uzaki-chan?
Uzaki-chan. Can't even remember.
So that came out. Misfit King of Demon Academy.
Yeah, so there's some decent stuff to watch. And then the other part, too, is I haven't started watching the next season of ReZero, which was really good. I'm like, I just need to get binge watch on the last, like, on the new season so I could get caught up, so that way I could start watching it every week versus trying to watch 25 episodes in a row.
Right, and then Netflix just released the third season of Agrusetsu.
Yeah.
And Amazon just released the first three episodes of the new season of The Boys.
I know, dude. There's so much to do. So much stuff to do and not enough time to do it. I feel like I'm gonna have to make like a scheduled like TV day on my week off.
that's what I was thinking. I got next week off, so I'll probably catch up on The Boys.
They're back in town.
Boys are back in town.
Boys are back in town.
Oh, man. So I've been buying a bunch of books, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But haven't been reading any of them. Like, going back, like, to comic book conventions, like, you know, like trade paperbacks or just basically, like, the story, like, a single-ish, like, a story, like, what's that called when it's a story? A graphic novel.
Yes.
That's the word.
Like, yeah.
Either trades or graphic novels, but from, like, independent artists.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been reading some of these books. I've read a couple, Sean.
Yeah.
I'm actually semi-literate. Even if it does have pictures, it still counts because there's words. I gotta start slow, man. Like, I can't jump back into like a full like real book. Gotta put the training wheels back on.
Yeah, dude, I read too many emails during the week. I can't read a book. That's not enjoyable.
You're one of those dumb Americans. It's like, I haven't read a book since high school.
I've read a book since high school, but it's been a while.
As the song says.
Mm-hmm.
So, I read this first one because the second volume is up on Kickstarter right now until the first, I want to say.
Gotcha.
Yes, until, let's see, I have it. Again, I made myself have a follow-up question, but until October 1st at 6 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. So, 3 p.m. on October 1st, your time. Mm-hmm. So, luckily, this episode should be released in time for there to be, like, another week or two of you to have to, like, go on there. But the author is, his name is Russell Nolte.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably one of my favorite people to talk to, like, when we were able to go to comic book conventions. And he's probably the author that's one of the, not even just author, but human beings besides my wife that's caused me to spend the most money on things.
Yeah.
I probably have like 20 of his books that I've gotten through Kickstarter and different various meeting him, buying him from conventions and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's pretty funny because the way I got his first book, he like ended up giving it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's basically legitimately like my drug dealer. Like, you know, we talk about like the first one's free.
Yeah.
And so the story of this book, the name of the book is Ichabod Jones Monster Hunter. And this guy, there's like a voice in his head and it's telling, and he's got to go and kill, he's like in a mental institution, but it's being invaded by these monsters and he has to go and kill them. And he like breaks free to go kill this one giant monster and they catch him and they bring him back. And he ends up like actually escaping and he meets up with this group and he runs into like another group of survivors while they're like scavenging for food. And they're like, hey, you can't come into our like area and steal our food. And so they tell him, it's like, well, if you go kill these zombies, I won't kill your people. And as soon as he leaves, they're like, well, we're going to kill his people no matter what. Because, like, it's meat. We need food. Mm-hmm. And so he comes back and ends up, like, saving them all. And I don't know, man. It's, like, a really good book. I don't want to, like, spoil everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, like, I'm almost spoiling a little too much as it is. But, like I said, the second volume is coming out on Kickstarter for, you know, he's pretty cool, like, too, where he, like, you can either do, like, you can get digital copies of the books, or you can get physical copies, hardcover. So, like, for $15, you can get both books in PDF form, like digital copy. And then you can get more books, with depending on how much you spend up till there. So, and it's like $40, you get the book. Yeah. And you can pick either if you want one or two, and then, you know, it goes up where there's an option where you can get both books.
Mm.
Like $80 or more, you get both books and a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, it's really good read. All his books, the couple books of his that I have read, are pretty good. I highly recommend jumping on this Kickstarter. Russell Nolte, RUSSELL, no, NOHELTY.
Mm. Nice.
And then the other one I read is called Junior Braves of the Apocalypse.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a book published by Oni Press. So you can actually go and get it through the Oni Press website. And basically, there's two volumes out. And I ended up meeting one of the creators, Michael Turner, at the Ontario convention a few years ago. And then it was funny, we randomly ran into him in like Portland, him and his co-creator. And they had come out with a second volume. So I ended up having to pick, even though I didn't really plan on like buying a bunch of books in Portland because, you know, I had to fly home. I think I bought more books in Portland than I did at any convention. Think about like 100 pounds worth of books and had to put it in that was my carry-on.
Wow.
It was ridiculous. Dude. Yeah. I hate myself so fucking much going through the airport with that shit. But at least I didn't lose it and leave it in the plane.
Well, you always gotta say stuff like that, man. It hurts.
Because it's funny to me. But basically, like, this troop of scouts, they go camping. And they're gone for a week. And they come back and the apocalypse has happened. Like, mm-hmm. Everyone's like basically zombies.
Hmm.
And so it's basically like Boy Scouts meets kind of like The Walking Dead.
Mm, gotcha.
But it's not quite like as dark as The Walking Dead, but it's definitely not like full kids not book because people die.
Yeah.
People betray each other. I mean, it's a good read, but like I said, Junior Braves of the Apocalypse. It's on Oni Press. When this issue is out, I'll post some more stuff on our social medias for people to find it.
Good.
Good. And then the last thing, Sean, I've jumped on the bandwagon. I'm a bandwagoner.
Oh no.
After watching Cole and Anthony and Alex from the Inquest a Geek podcast that formerly Ready Said Geek that I was a member on. No, I'm not a member on, but a guest on. And they kind of helped me with some advice for the podcast and stuff. They've been streaming on Twitch, so you can find them Twitch.tv/InQuestOfGeek. But like Cole has mainly been the one streaming. So for a while he was doing like the Batman games, the Arkham games, and then he was doing Overwatch.
Mm-hmm.
But then this game came out, and so the three of them, normally it's just the two dudes, and then Alex joined for a couple times of the Fall Guys game. Sean,
I have some Destiny clan mates that play that game.
You should play with them, Sean.
Is it that good?
It's stupid fucking fun. Like, basically you're just like these weird like creatures that don't necessarily run very well, and like everything is just a race.
Mm.
Pretty much. And there's some games that aren't. There's some one where you have to like pick up eggs and drop them into your basket. There's like three teams, and like then the other team, then you have to worry about the other team coming over and pulling the stuff out of your basket to put in theirs. And so basically, in the team ones, like two teams advance and the third team gets eliminated, whatever team's in last place.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one where like there's a team version and a solo version where every person has a tail. Not every person, but some people have a tail, and you have to run up and grab the tail from them. And if you have, basically, if you have a tail at the end, you advance.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, like, it's one of those that's like, I'm not going to care about this. And you start playing it, and you kind of get into it, especially if you've been drinking a little bit. And it's even better if you're in a group. Because, you know, like, I was playing it by myself for a little bit. I'm like, oh, this is kind of fun. And then Jody was watching me, and she was just laughing. And then I convinced her to play for a few rounds because I had, like, to get up and do some stuff anyways. I'm like, here, you can play. And she was like, no, I don't. And then she started playing and got into it. And it was fun watching her play. So, yeah, it's a dumb, fun game. I mean, there's not much more I can say about it. It's not – I forgot the name of the developer. But the developers of the game, I almost didn't mention it, but they're the ones that made the awesome E3 presentation videos. you know the ones I'm talking about where they're like anti-E3?
Yeah.
Like they're from a different country and like they're just crazy and they like
I can't remember off the top of my head. Either. No follow-up questions.
No, Devolver Digital.
Oh, yes.
That's it. I wanted to make sure I remembered that because it's like, hey, I'm actually playing a Devolver Digital game. I didn't pay for it, but I'm playing it. And of course, you know, like as you play, experience points, and you unlock things through experience, but then you also unlock in-game currency that you can use to buy things. Like, and there's actually two forms of online currency. There's like these little purple coins and there's crowns.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, because it's free, you can use real money to buy more, you know, purple coins or crowns to get things that you want. But again, it's just like whatever color you want your game character to be or whatever like costume you want them to wear. There's no, like literal no advantage game-wise to playing the game by paying money.
Yeah.
And it seems like you can't even buy, I didn't look, but I don't think you can buy actual costumes like that are like exclusive to the store. I think it's just you buy money to buy the games, to buy the stuff in the store. And it like updates every day. So, you know, there's always new stuff in the store.
Hmm.
But yeah, it is a lot of fun. It's just like something, just mindless drinking game fun.
No, I believe that. That's what I heard. I also heard some of the challenges that you have to do to like 100% the game are pretty tough and frustrating. There's some pretty ridiculous shit to do.
Right. Well, like some of them is like you have to win like so many of the individual rounds. Like there's one for winning one round and there's one for winning five. And I think it's like 10 or 100 is the next one. And then there's for winning overall, being the overall winner. Mm-hmm. There's like three levels of achievement for that as well, for trophies.
Nice.
And so like some of those ones are like 0.01%, super rare.
Oh, nice.
You know?
No, I totally understand. So, all right, everybody, that's it for today's show. Thanks for sticking around for another fantastic episode. Make sure you follow us on Podbean, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, all those other random-ass places that Sir Danny made me invade so everybody could be infected. Spotify, too.
We're like the bubonic plague, I guess, of podcasts. That it's like if somebody catches it, it's infected, but it's just nobody's caught it for so long, and they've been able to shut down the infection really quickly so that nobody else catches it.
Right. You can find us on Facebook and on Instagram. You can follow us on Untappd. You know, some of us like to share beer stories. Some of us don't, but, you know, it's all laziness involved. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Yes. Hopefully.